Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
The mailbox is full and cannot accept any messages at this time. Goodbye.
Greetings, the automatically deleted husband. And I'm still wondering why this phone hasn't been disconnected. But anyway, I sent a postcard to Jack today because, you know, he goes by the name Jack Cross. He was born John Joseph Kozlowski III. And we initially called him Joey, and then over time he decided he preferred the name Jack, which is fine with me. Because obviously, when you have two Johns in the family, I know this because as I grew up this way, there can be issues. And so calling him Joey, then Jack, worked great. I'm pleased to call my son Jack. But he changed his name to Cross, formally, because he didn't want to be like his dad. That's his words. So, obviously there is the blatant difference. I'm striving to be a follower of Christ, and the embrace of homosexuality would be an indication that he is not. But he's still my son, and I still love him, and my concern for him remains. I have a couple pictures here because, you know, it was amplified when in 2009 he and I walked the walls of Jericho, which is interesting because you start at the top and you go down as opposed to starting at the bottom and go up like we did Sunday. So we did that. And, you know, I have the picture of the sign at the bottom, 3.5 miles, because that's you know, it takes 3.5 miles to get down, and then obviously the return trip. And so there's a couple of pictures of us that day. But on the way back, I was about 53. I had struggles. I stopped twice because it was hard. I had difficulty doing it. So, you know, Sunday was 11 miles, half mile, not a problem. And of course, I ended with jumpy jacks. So clearly I'm in better shape than I was, 15 years ago. And, you know, so something's changed with me. How about Jack? You know, that's I wonder about. Jack is now 30. He's older than the guy I hiked the Big Frog with. You know, could Jack hike with me a Big Frog? You know, there's a real possibility, not a problem. There's a real possibility, there might be a problem. I don't know. I know nothing about my son. But Jack is my son, and I won't close the door to him. So he was on my mind today, so I did send out the card to him because, you know, and obviously, as I pointed out before, because I just simply quote what the CDC says, his lifestyle choice means he's probably going to drop 10 to 20 years off of his longevity. I wouldn't be overly surprised. He's vaccinated. So you add those things together, there's the real possibility he has health issues. You know, considering the number of young people who are dying lately, that could be my son. And he's still my son, and I still love him. But I did walk to Publix today, so I did a 7-mile round trip. It was fascinating at the farmer's market. I saw the two Russian, you know, the two people, a woman and a man, and then I watched them, you know, talk with them both, and they talked to each other in Russian, which was fascinating. And I asked him a little bit, asked the woman a little bit about the difference between the Russian and Ukrainian language, and she told me a little bit. Anyway, it was fascinating. Just one quick point. Yesterday in my discussion of 2 Corinthians 5, I said at one point might or may versus I should have said should or may, because the difference in the passage mentioned yesterday is whether in essence it's God's command or license being offered. But I went into that, but I said that wrong. So I did note that when I reviewed that. But okay, the other thing, I listened to, because it seems very relevant. And the only reason I bring it up is because that's what I saw. It was actually from yesterday. Dmitry Polyansky. He is he's Russian and is their representative in the UN. And there's been a lot of conversation, and I think it was echoed in this story, about how the UN is simply is becoming irrelevant, because if you use it as a way for communications, great. But if you use it to impose and things of that nature, you're becoming a world government, and there's problems. And the issue that is discussed in this video is apparently there was yet another meeting, this time behind closed doors, but he talked about it fairly freely, apparently. About the Nord Stream demolition, and so it was interesting because he said, he brings various pieces of evidence up and so forth, and he even mentioned how it's become kind of a tourist place because there people are going, individuals and independent reporters going to the site and doing various things. It's not something that most people would actually go down to, because it's not for the ill-prepared to go down that depth. But a lot of people is relatively simply to take the remote drone and go down with cameras, which I did mention it was the Gray Zone who they did that, and they found the boot. What it reminded me of is, there's still the question of, where's some solid evidence? And the issue that he's discussing is that if you don't want to hear, basically, which the U.S. and the Western allies don't want to hear, they close the door of communications. It's seen this with events around Syria and so forth. And, I have no doubt similar things will be are happening with Ukraine and itself and various other things. But it goes back to, if you go to shofarleaks.com, you find a section about collateral pipeline, which is, again, it's a play in words from collateral murder versus collateral pipeline, because collateral murder, someone exposed the events, someone offered some evidence, video evidence of, a helicopter gunship doing things like, well, for example, killing that man there, Mr. Tamal. So that evidence was leaked. The problem is, in the case of, Bradley Manning, who did that, we have the issues with the individual and so forth. And of course he was imprisoned and tortured and those kind of things, which is uncomfortable. And the purpose of the collateral pipeline example is that, collateral murder was, it's a high stakes game, people died and whatnot, but everybody involved, not a problem, except of course, Bradley Manning, Chelsea Manning, Mr. Chelsea Manning. But anyway, but now with the Nord Stream, if someone were to leak some real information, obviously Seymour Hersh has acted as an agent for somebody to express a leaker's description of what happened. Again, using the sonobuoys to trigger a charge that was put down there during a NATO exercise some months before. So it was put down there, and then when it was, in order to give it the command, say, now to blow up, it was listening for an audio, literal audio signal, and that was provided by sonobuoys that were dropped in the ocean. And this was done in, and you know, so there's lots of pieces of information. The radar records of the plane that probably dropped the sonar buoys and whatnot. It's all there, but to connect all the dots is a little bit more difficult. And you know, the fact that a plane flies over a particular area and may or may not drop sonar buoys into the water does not give you extremely solid evidence. It's suggestion. It contributes to the idea of who did it and so forth. But it's not the smoking gun because it's not as clear. And obviously, triggering a bomb with a sonar buoy, you had to have an understanding of why that was necessary, which I described on February 9th in my voicemail. But what happens is if someone says, okay, here is some kind of solid evidence, video documentation, some internal things, or a whole bunch of information that connects a lot of dots together in order to say, look, it's not someone who is an unidentified leaker giving this information, and we're not going to give the information directly. Here's the direct information. We probably won't identify the leaker, but here's the direct information. And that would be we would call that collateral pipeline, because that person would be not imprisoned and tortured like Bradley Manning, but that person will die. I have no doubt that person will be a dead person extremely quickly. So when you play at that level, you need the tools to make sure, well, if you're going to leak this, you don't want to die. And, you know, because obviously when you see the events at the UN yesterday, there are a very large number of powerful players that are going to try to suppress this. That's why you don't cross the line. And so that's one of the, and again, I can describe it in detail to anyone who will engage me on it. And again, the first person who's done it to a reasonable degree was Luke Sunday after our hike. But the what you're doing is you're going against a collective, a group, and you're putting yourself at very, very serious risk. And I had a dialogue, responded to in an ongoing dialogue. Where's the man who's willing to engage me on this? You know, the other thing that I find is I will engage you in point A, point B, and point C. On point A, we're full agreement. Point B, maybe reasonable somewhat. But point C, we disagree. Therefore, I'm not going to deal with you at all. I learned about this when I was actively involved in politics. And that's why it became very clear. That's why politicians will give you the wishy-washy statements. Rally around us because we're rah-rah. We won't say anything substantive, but we'll say we're, you know, doing the right thing. You can see this very, very clearly. They have no backbone. Clear communications is just unwelcome. So one of the things I do, as you may have noticed, is we'll engage people very specifically on the scripture. And the place that I'm finding the most difficult to do that is within the Christian community. Because it is, we'll agree with you on theology point A and point B, but if you disagree with us on point C, we want nothing to do with you. You're a bad man. Go away. This is abundantly clear. I see it in different flavors. It was like when I went to the local Baptist church for that event, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. And it was, you believe in Christ? Great. Let's not go into any details because I disagree with you in the details. I don't talk about it. Shut up. Go away. Literally. So finding allies on these projects has been more than difficult. Because I'm sorry, I'm not going to back down on the veracity of Scripture and the minute details. And I want to engage people because I'm not the reference. I want to engage people because if somebody can challenge me and I can't make a defense, then I have to question, am I standing in the right position? Are they going to offer me some evidence that will challenge my position, or will they help me reaffirm my position or clarify it? And it doesn't mean that we have to come to unified agreement. But if we're unwilling, and then of course the normal thing is, oh, you're getting off into onto areas that we can disagree on, so let's not talk about that. And I would suggest, I need to be able to explain this better. I would suggest that's not saying, well, let's agree to disagree. That's cowardice. We can agree to disagree on, all right, I am at a certain stage in life, I believe that I shouldn't eat pork, for example. And I can say, all right, then, you know, are you willing to talk about it? For some people, obviously it's no, we can't go there right now. But someone, especially someone who is theoretically somewhat mature as a follower of Christ, yeah, you don't eat pork. Okay, why? Can you explain to me why you believe that the Old Testament restriction on pork is applicable today? Why the, well, like the Acts passage about, you know, the sheet coming down and kill and eat. Why that does not apply to eating pork. Why, you know, the statement, this declaring all foods clean does not apply. You know, because there's the possibility I've got it wrong because I pick out. you know, and I rarely do I eat pork, but the one place I ate pork was at that Baptist church, which anyway, you know, because I'm a beef guy, you know. But anyway, if you're unwilling to engage on that, then when we get to something serious that may put you at risk, such as shofar leaks or something relative to like the collateral pipeline level or even modest levels, you know, just, well, I'm part of a group and I don't want to rock the boat because my job may be at stake, which is, I would suggest, if your job is more important than obedience to Christ, you may have a problem that. But that's controversial. We don't want to go there. We have different opinions, so let's not talk about it. That's a problem. That's a big problem. So I don't know what to do about this besides press on. To my joy, I put an update on yesterday, and you know there's the tools to go get emails into a local, you know, which is the common is POP3 or IMAP. I use POP3 because it's simpler, and that's because it's not a big deal. But IMAP is just slightly more complicated, and I just haven't bothered at this point. So that's relatively simple, and the reason I put it in, because it was simple, and also it gives me a simple way, because that allows me to do the testing, in the sense that I can simply go out there and say, do you have anything? And I typically respond, no, I have nothing. So that allows me to have that message go back and forth every minute or so, and to validate communications. But then there's the other, to send email, SMTP, simple mail transfer protocol. That is fairly simple also. It's like 2% more complicated than POP3. The issue is you're only going to get a record when I send something. And so I did some updates, whatnot, and put it out there, and the log wasn't there. I'm saying, there's our problem. Why isn't the log there? Fortunately, I found that maybe an hour ago, which was good. But what it did is also showed me there was an underlying issue. It wasn't the SMTP that was causing the problem. It was an underlying issue. And I'm grateful that was found. I see that again as the Lord's blessing. He showed me a lower level issue by looking at a higher level issue, which is encouraging. Because again, I had the email working almost a year ago, and I did a review and said, okay, there's a whole bunch of things I want to put in place. One, besides the logging aspect, so you see it clearly what's happening, but also want to put in the ability to do a variety of things to radically reduce the tracking that email does, and to make it basically completely standalone. So me as a home user, I can do the complete system myself without having anything external. The issue is going to be is you need a domain name. And there are ways around it. You know, one is if I have a small group of people, my family, for example, kozlowska.org is mine. Well, that's great. Anyone in the world can get to that because it's in the system. But what happens if my family wants to have something just for our family? And it's not kozlowska.org, it's just Kozlowski. So I have, you know, John at Kozlowski, Dorothy Jane at Kozlowski, Jack at Kozlowski, for example. But the issue is someone outside wouldn't be able to use that. But that doesn't matter if this is specifically for our group, in this case, our family. So all our family has to do, or the computers that are being used for this, is have some way to find out where Kozlowski is. And that's a relatively simple process, the domain system that, gee, it's built into Shofar Nexus. Who would have thought? So you have that mechanics, but I can do that for another group, a community, or something of that nature. And it's not in my hands, it's theirs. And that is one of the important things. Is I want to be able to turn it over to somebody. So if we want to do something private, it's private. Including the point that we're off the internet. So the various aspects about communications and routing and whatnot are not happening. But they're happening in Shofar Nexus. That's the goal. And slowly but surely, the techniques are being put in place. So I revamped email. I'm going to have the basic stuff to allow the things like the prefetching of images, the ability to work with, you know, private domains and things of that nature. Those kind of things, restructured it for that, and now it's being implemented. And then, of course, the same thing is true with the email list, which is the idea that, if I sign up for an email list, I may have an email list that's, you would go to, like, it's my family list. So it would be family.kozlowska.org, which would be the place that you could go and sign up or things of that nature. But when the email gets sent to you, it comes from not family.kozlowska.org, but a thing like 123ABCXYZ or 789 kind of thing, .family.kozlowska.org, a very long domain name. And it's kind of like, why is that? Because it's coming from a unique instance of the server of Shofar Nexus, meaning that it is specifically for you. So you can actually go to that yourself, you know, that domain name, and have all the history of what was sent to you and things of that nature, manage things and so forth. And it's yours and yours alone. You also would have the ability to see, oh, did somebody else look at the site? Or when did I look at the site and from where? Because that information is now available to you. Google has it when you use Gmail. Microsoft has it when you use Office 360, whatever. Apple has it. Oh, does Apple have it? But anyway, they all have it. But in this case, they don't. You do alone. And maybe something like that, somebody will say, okay, I see the other steps that are coming, and they're complicated, and they may take another week or two, at least. But this is important to me. I want to run with it. Because in some cases, I just don't want to be tracked, because, again, the association issue. In some cases, the communications I want to do, if I'm found out, it may cost me my life. And so I want to make sure that the tools are effective for that person. And if they're effective for that person, for a family to communicate, for a chess club to communicate, for a sporting team to communicate on their own, this is more than plenty for them. For somebody to offer hard evidence for collateral pipeline, he needs something, or the next issue, he needs something, or he will not be found. Because otherwise, they won't find him alive. It's a big deal. And, you know, it's very easy to say, well, but they're on the wrong side, so I don't want to support them. Until the next guy is on the right side. And, well, why didn't somebody support them? My lady, my wife, these are the things your husband has been pursuing for a whole long time. I've made a lot of mistakes along the way. Technical errors, business errors, errors based on my own pride. The political venture is a notable example of that. There's a whole bunch of errors I made. The lust for the things of this world. When I was making a lot of money, and you apparently seemed to be fine with me at that time. This is my purpose, and I'm not going to stop. I may be stopped, but not voluntarily. My lady, my wife, I love you and I want you back.